Multiracial Americans are the fastest growing group among young people today, and demographers say that trend won't be slowing down anytime soon. Across the nation, young, multiracial, and multi-ethnic Americans are banding together to celebrate their shared mixed heritage. But for some people, forming a unified multicultural identity is a challenge. Lacey Schwartz was raised in a white, upper-middle-class Jewish household in upstate New York. When she was 18 years old, she discovered that she was biracial, the product of an extramarital affair. Lacey chronicles the revelation and her own search for identity in the documentary Little White Lie. Sarah Nix caught up with her.
Did you think about race much when you were growing up? Do you have any memories like that?
Yeah, I think I had a lot of memories growing up of just this idea of difference. I mean, obviously in the film, I talk about my earliest memory around that, which was being in nursery school and a fellow student asking me to show him my gums. I guess somebody had told him that if, you know, your gums are white, then you're white. If your gums are black, then you're black. At the time, more than anything, it just introduced this idea that I could be different from somebody else and they could ask me about it. I mean, I think that that was really what it cemented into my mind more than anything, is this idea of difference. Not until later in my life did this concept of race connect to difference.
And it seems like that sense of difference, and particularly difference of appearance from the people around you, embedded itself somehow. You even wrote in your diary that you wished you had lighter skin. Did you talk to your parents about that too?
You know, I didn't talk about what I wished was different, I don't think, as much with my parents. I mean, I'm sure I complained about my hair. But you hear young kids saying that all the time, that they don't like the way they look. And it is deep, even if the kids don't always realize how deep it is. But, you know, the way I look at it with my parents is that it wasn't like they were, at the time, consciously lying to me. You know, they were working on their own denial.
And it sounds like it wasn't really until you were in high school that you started to wonder about whether they were telling you the truth or not. What changed?
You know, when I was in high school, I think that, like with anything, part of this is also about how much of like a bubble do you grow up in. When I went to high school, I was going to school in the town over, and the town next to mine was much more diverse than the town I had grown up in. And so all of a sudden, I was in a much more diverse environment where I was having increasingly different reactions to how I looked.
Can you give me an example of some of the reactions that stuck with you when you first got to high school?
Yeah, I mean, literally before I went to high school, I wasn't in school with very many people of color at all. So there wasn't any sort of collective. So to be in school where maybe I wasn't hanging out with like the black students, but they were actually congregating together. So I would walk down a hallway and there would be groups of black students who would then say things to me about how I looked and how they saw that I should identify. At that point, I still had a very firm belief that I was who I was raised to be. So I just stuck with the party line in a sense.
You know, there's a part in your film where you're talking with your old high school boyfriend. He talks about how when you guys were dating in high school, he didn't buy your parents' story.
I have such a profound memory of looking at your family pictures and being like, come on. This is like, you'd have the pictures coming back from Jamaica with the braid and you get so dark. It became clear that there was this denial. I remember being so struck by it. The weight of those types of secrets, and it was a couple years before we even talked about it.
So was there a moment for you when you just knew that your parents' story wasn't holding water?
I don't think that there's like an exact moment that I can, you know, point my finger to. You know, again, I'm looking back at this in hindsight. And so at the time, I don't think it was so conscious or calculating. But I really think that I didn't want to lose my connection to my family or the comfort that my family brought me. And so, you know, I didn't really have an incentive to like rock the boat. When my parents ended up splitting up, at that point, a lot of these things were no longer there to be protected. You know, there wasn't this intact family unit. So I think that that was a real turning point in terms of me being able to be open to the idea that everything wasn't exactly what it seemed. When I went away to college, for the first time, I was kind of saw myself as an individual separate from my family.
And you found an entirely new community when you went to Georgetown, right?
Absolutely. I had a lot of diverse communities, but it was definitely the first time that I was ever really part of a black community.
We have a great clip from the film of you talking with some friends from school about racial identity and how complicated it can get.
Is being biracial, half black, half white, a category of being black? Like, I think of it.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think of it that way. Like, I identify as black. Like, being mixed is a category of being black. Being mixed to me is not a category of being white. For me, you know, I grew up my whole life with people constantly asking me why I looked the way I did. And so maybe I identify as being black because I want to be a part of the black community.
Yeah.
Being black feels good for me.
It's such a fascinating clip. It sounds like there's a real transformation that happened while you were there.
What I have realized over the process of living my life and making this project is that, you know, the closer you get to kind of your own authenticity and being really honest about who you are, the more you're kind of clear of a lot of the baggage that you can be prone to carry around with you.
So what were some of the steps in that? You used the term coming to your own authenticity. Like, what were some of the changed ways of being that were part of that coming to your true self?
You know, one of the most pivotal pieces of awareness that I came to was when I realized I had started doing research on black Jews in America in particular, but really around racial and ethnic diversity around Judaism. And I was really thinking about making a film and trying to figure out what was the film I wanted to make. It was a great topic, but what's the story? And I realized that I was fascinated by black Jews because beyond obviously my own personal connection, that I had grown up in a community where being Jewish was almost synonymous with being white. But there were all of these people who were living with both Jewish identity and black identity internally. And it just fascinated me that you had these different identities within individuals. And individuals were having to integrate themselves. And I realized that I was totally taken by this concept because that's what I was struggling to do.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because while I was watching the film, I was wondering if there were these moments of disorientation for you, you know, where you've grown up this upstate New York Jewish girl, and suddenly you're immersed in an African-American community at Georgetown. How did that feel?
Yeah, I literally would feel like I was one person in one space and another person in another space. It could be very discombobulating. By the end of that year, I just felt very disjointed, tired of taking on different roles in different spaces. And I really felt like I had to do the work to be able to allow my different selves to come together. Now, it took a lot more than having that crucial conversation with my mother. It was then, you know, 10 more years of work to actually come out of what I call the racial closet.
Well, let's talk about that conversation with your mother. When did it happen and how did it go?
After, you know, having that first year away in college, I realized that I really needed to talk to my mother about why I looked the way I did. I mean, I really hadn't had a conversation with her about it. And it was tough.
And what did she tell you?
She eventually told me that there was a very good chance my biological father was black, that she had had an affair with a man named Rodney Parker, and that most likely he was my biological father.
Did it put your mind at ease in some way to have that question answered? I mean, I'm sure there were all sorts of complications with your father who'd raised you.
Right, so it was definitely very complicated. But yes, there was absolutely, at the same time, a modicum of relief as well, because getting answers in the end, like, it's such a cliche, but it's like the truth will set you free. I really do believe that, you know, we do need to speak our own truths and we need to know what they are and just accept them for better or worse.
Earlier, you mentioned that you think that maybe part of the reason you didn't question the ways in which you didn't look like your parents might be because there is this pressure to conform to the people around us, to be part of the family, to not be different, and that maybe you were afraid of losing connection with your family. And I'm wondering where it stands now. I mean, do you feel like your coming into yourself has changed those relationships with your folks in a way that it wouldn't maybe if this hadn't happened?
As I got older and, you know, more confident, more sure of my own identity, I am able to know who I am and understand my connection with my family and not really feel like I have to conform in those same ways, that we can bond around the things that we have in common, but the things that are different don't have to be divisive per se. The way a lot of times I talk about it is that we want any community to be accepting and open in the sense that somebody can walk through the door and be a part of that community, but not leave other pieces of themselves behind.
Great. Well, Lacey, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Of course. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Lacey Schwartz is the co-director and subject of the documentary Little White Lie. She talked with Sarah Nix.